So our market manager has managed to create a wonderful monster in the Keller we have a very positive market that is well respected by vendors, patrons, people from the Keller and around the area. So it is a large market. So, but in any situation that we have, there's various things that have occurred over the last little while that make us take a look at it. Is there any way to make it better? And so today is the idea of how we can make it better with a lot of public input from vendors, from the public, from council, from staff. And we have a bunch of decisions. We have to deal with what are facts and then deal with what are solutions. So this to me is a preliminary meeting to hear all the issues, to listen to the market manager, to listen to things. We know certain issues, but this originally started with a request that we were originally trying to have a meeting with Jan with her annual report. We didn't get that done. There was a request that came in for expanded area because of the high demand that she's created in the market to potentially move to some of the vendors to the community center. There were some requests. We have some projects that we've been looking at long term for 23 that haven't been approved yet. So a lot of that precipitated us calling a open meeting to discuss six issues, one of them which was the market, the future for the market. So we had a lot of discussion on that to precipitate this meeting to deal strictly with the market. Since that time, there's been a lot of emails, phone calls, social media, and discussion about resolutions coming forward. So the idea is to put it all together so everybody's on the same wavelength with what are facts and how we can potentially move forward short-term and long-term. There's no use just doing something ephemeral, something that's going to happen tomorrow, but it's going to have a major effect down the road. If we're going to do it, let's do it in stages and look at what's best for the community, what's best for vendors, what's best for our patrons, what's best for McKellar, and make it a safe market and a positive market. So that's my introductory remark. So what I thought we should do is that we have the market manager here and her trusty sidekick who does all the labor and all the hard work and everything in behind.
And Rob Gibson,
they're a great pair, and I've enjoyed working with them for many different reasons. So I thought that if we could have Jan give us an update on where she's at, because she precipitated it with the first discussion, and that compounded in a bunch of other things. So putting it all together, we're going to hear from your side of it, because you've been doing stuff on social media and other stuff. So,
would you, Mayor Hopkins, would you like to speak to the response from? Have your say on social media from the general public and from our vendors with regards to their feedback? Like, was it 75%? Let's stay in the
park. I don't know the numbers. I don't do, my wife does the social media stuff. I do the emails. So.
Yeah, so you can speak to the emails and phone calls.
Emails were about 60-40.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm looking at positive change. So
I came up
60
with
60 to stay, was to stay at the market. One of the suggestions did come up about Patterson Lane. We've asked staff to investigate that, and there's some differences there, so we'll have to be talking about that at some point in time. But right now, I think the latest one I got today was to stay at the market. So I would say the majority are to stay where they are and create demand, and then maybe use Patterson Lane as an overflow area, if that's even impossible, and we got to deal with the parking situation. So
yeah, I did a little research in Patterson Lane myself, but
let's get started. Give us a. I know you're going to do a promo on the market. So
yeah, I'm always a salesperson.
I know that.
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, I would like to welcome the Ward family, their former vendors of the McKellar Market. And we do miss you. And I would like to welcome Debbie Zulak. And your name?
Gord.
Gord?
Zulak.
Gord, you know, I've never met you.
No, right. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
And also, I would like to thank the mayor and council for allowing me to speak today because I'm very passionate. And also to people online, if you have any questions, we will answer them for you. And I also would like to know if you can hear me well enough, because when I was online for the budget meeting, I could not hear what was going on. So I hope you can hear me. I'm trying to talk loudly so you can hear everything. Okay, so let's go back to 2016. I walked through those doors in 2016. I came in for an interview for the McKellar Market. Mayor Hopkins was there, Mike Kakigan was there, and our former treasurer, Sherry Ridsdale. I competed against five other people, candidates, for the position. And lo and behold, I was awarded the position, and to this day, I'm very thankful for having this opportunity to bring my skills to the Township of McKellar. So my background is in tourism. I worked as an economic development officer. I have worked in marketing for many, many years, and I knew that this job that I was being presented with would give me an opportunity to use all of my skills, and boy, has it ever. I'm just thrilled, okay? And so I also want to tell you a little story. My family, we relocated to McKellar in 2013, and I met this wonderful lady. Her name was Magda, and Magda, she asked me one day if I could go over to her home and have tea, and she wanted to welcome me to McKellar. So anyhow, I went over, and we sat in her little porch, and it was a great conversation that day, and there is a story behind this, because we sat there, and she talked about walking the roadsides of McKellar, which my father used to do in Goderich, and pick wild raspberries. And as she was picking the wild raspberries, she decided to take them home and preserve them for everybody to use, to share in McKellar. And so what she did is she started to sell her jams and jellies with her little card table in the parking lot of the McKellar General Store. And so it was funny. It was ironic that I had this conversation with Magna because 3 years later, there was a post in the paper, and Township McKellar is looking for a market manager. And I had just lost my mom at that time, which was very sad. But anyhow, so I thought, I'm going to apply for this position. Hey, what do I got to lose? So anyhow, I was selected for a job interview, and I'm very thankful for that. And so anyhow, here we are today. Mayor and Council, and people in the chamber, people online. I would like to thank everyone, which I have before, about coming and letting me talk about my passion for the McKellar Market. There is one other thing I'd like to say is the McKellar Market would not exist if we didn't have our vendors and our community that supports our market and our tourism that is brought to this township. It's just phenomenal on a Saturday morning. There's 1,500 people, and it's just great. It's brought so much joy to our community. And so anyhow, as a good manager, I learned early on, and I had a fantastic mentor by the name of Bob Schreier. He mentored me for many years. And I started off as a sales consultant, and I worked my way up in the company to running my own newspaper. And we won many awards that year. We won OCNA, we won all of Canada. And so I was very proud and thankful for Bob to tap me on the shoulder to come and be promoted within that company. So anyhow, to getting a little off topic, we're going to be addressing some concerns that were brought on by Mike Richard. Mike, I am very thankful that you brought this to our community's attention, because my number one priority at the McKellar Market is safety. And it has been from day one. It's safety with regards to our visitors, our vendors, and our tourists. Okay? And so I should have my glasses on. Okay, so I will speak to these the matters. Rob will address all the safety issues. Having said that, Brad and I have had long conversations with the Ministry of Transportation, Ryan. I have some emails I'm going to circulate with, for council to look at leading up to today. And I just want to thank Mayor Hopkins and Ina Watkins for giving me, allowing me enough time that I could be here today, because at the committee of the whole, unfortunately, I had two medical appointments the next day, and I just found out at 6 o'clock at night, and there's just no way I could get out of those appointments. Okay, so anyhow, thank you to our vendors, because I'll get back to that about, without our market vendors, we would not have a market. And when I started, I was handed a little list with 5 names on it. So I knew it was going to be a big job to get vendors to come to our little town in Keller, right? Okay, so to operate a successful market, there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes. We just don't show up on a Saturday morning and roll out the red carpet for everybody to come. My first year, I had, like I said, only 4 weeks to pull together a market. Unfortunately, the township had advertised the job a little late. But anyhow, I managed to open with 16 vendors. Mayor Hopkins, do you remember that day? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was an exciting day. It was also, we always open on Canada Day weekend too, which is always an exciting day as well. So my first year, I only had... We opened with 16 vendors. I'm not sure of the traffic that went through the market at that time. It was still good. We had a great day. So I wanted to be known to everyone here today that it takes a vendor a considerable amount of time and effort. As Candace Ward knows, you spent hours and hours at your home. You know what? I know you spent hours baking. And we miss your bacon. And Wayne, cooking up those female bacon on the bun, people still ask me, where did that guy go? Right?
Yeah, they do.
Actually they ask, well, where's that guy with the camper? That's what they ask. Because Wayne used to bring a camper in and pick up a storm. And your son also joined in. And so... So anyhow, it does take a long time for our vendors to prepare for a season. A lot of them have been preparing all winter, and they're all very excited. And I let you know that the McKellar Market is their favorite, and that's pretty amazing for a population of, 2,000? I don't know how many residents we have here.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So anyhow, basically the vendors have been replenishing their stock. I spent a great deal of my own time behind the scenes organizing food, organizing entertainment. I see Phil, you're online there. Phil, we thank you from the bottom of our heart for donating your time. You mean a lot to me. And also I spend a lot of time attracting food vendors, which is everybody loves food. Everybody loves entertainment. And I spend a lot of time working with community partners. Like, I find that the McKellar Market is the cornerstone of our community in the summertime. And so I like to support Harvest Share, our firefighters. They joined up with me in the last couple of years, and we've been raising money for Harvest Share, which is fantastic. And I also spend a lot of time in event planning. Although the last 2 years, we had to go through COVID. And so a lot of our events that we would normally have on our market sadly had to be reduced due to health regulations. And so hopefully this year we can start introducing those back to our market. I'm quite excited about that. So another thing that is really important, all successful markets, they come to a limit where they don't have any more space. And people are put on a vendor list. Over in Rosso, it's the same thing. You know, there comes to a time when you can't accept any more vendors. And that's just the way it is. And so in our market guidelines, just so you know, folks, our market guidelines state that returning vendors are welcomed back first, and then we go down the list. And that is by the market guidelines. So anyhow, what I can say is folks love the McIntyre Market. What they love us for is they love us for our friendly hospitality, because us McIntyreites really know how to shine through in that regards. They also like with the wide selection of our products. That's great. And we are the one-stop shopping at its finest. And I believe that we can, Rob's going to speak to the safety of this meeting today, which is why we're all here. And I want to also, I don't think I've mentioned it, but I want to thank our community for the support that has been shown. It's was very impressive. I had no idea of the extent of whatever. And the final note I have to say, which is from what I've learned in business, okay, and what I've learned as being a manager of a lot of people, in this case, in previous, I'd have a staff of 10, but previously to this, McIntyre Market vendors and the community, there are people, they're my people, and as a good manager, you stick up for your people. And that's exactly what I am doing and what Rob is about to the information that Rob is going to share. It has taken me hours and some nights working all night to put this all together for you folks to have a better understanding where we can go moving forward, okay? And at this point, we're going to let Rob speak with regards to the safety issues. And afterwards, I want everybody online, if you have any questions, please put your hand up, because Rob and I would be happy to answer any questions that you have or concerns for that matter. And so, Rob, would you like to speak?
Yeah, so Mayor Hopkins, he brought some points together today, and as well as some of the community members have brought some points together today in regards to how we want to move forward with the McIntyre Market and stuff like this. There's been a lot of ideas been throwing out there, some of those ideas of where the market should be located and stuff like that. And it doesn't matter where the market is located within the community or along that Highway 124 corridor, there's always going to be safety concerns or safety matters that have to be addressed or brought, that has to be addressed or attended to. So last year there was some matters that were brought to our attention, and thank God they were brought to our attention, you know, type deal. So now we can properly address those matters as we move forward and stuff like that. And moving forward and that, as Jan had mentioned in her spiel there, that safety is one of our primary concerns. The last 2 years we had to deal with COVID. So in order to open our market with COVID, we had to approach the Ministry of Health to see what their guidelines were and how we could open safely so that all people can attend the market and work in and be in, feel that they're in a safe environment, you know, type deal. So we basically put together a 60-page COVID plan and how we are going to open safely with all the signage and stuff like that. So now we got another issue that has been brought to our attention, and that is basically public safety along the Highway 21 or Highway 124 corridor. So matter, I've been looking into it as well as Jan for the last day and a half here. We've been on the phone with the MTO to try to get a better understanding of the safety concerns and how what we could do in order to correct these things. One of the things that was brought to me to my attention from in Ryan's letter was that this area was designated as a permit control area. So at first, I thought this is something that somebody was trying to implement or put in place. But then after researching online and also talking with Ryan, I understood what it meant by a permit control area. So a permit control area is basically an area that is set out under the HTA, or the Highway Traffic Act. And under the Highway Traffic Act, it basically says in there what activities can occur along the highway corridors. And certain activities, depending on the activities, they have to they will have to apply for a permit in order for them to continue on with their activities. And this permit is nothing new. It's something that's been in legislation for years, but it's just been brought to our attention that we have not been in compliance.
For 13 years, 12 years.
Well, 13 years ago, you wouldn't have to have it because we only had 5 vendors. So what it says in the HDA under Section 34, it basically says that that a venue, where is it here, Section 34, for some reason that didn't print out.
Oh, it didn't run? That would be my fault then. Section 34, number 2, wasn't it? Right,
yeah,
here, despite...
No, but the section is in one section. But it came under Section D, or under... It came under one of the sections, so I've been reading it for the last day and a half here, so I can pretty well say it for verbiage. So
you can get it on here if you want.
I can do it from memory here. But anyways, in that section that we have to comply with, it's just not markets, it's just not fairs, it's basically any venue that attracts large number of people must apply for a permit. So when there's large numbers of people that are attracted to an area and people are congregating, you have to apply for a permit, and that basically that venue has to be back, or that venue basically says that it basically provides us guide, or basically when in a permit or any application, you have to show to the to the ministry that is asking for that permit how you're going to operate safely. And so Ryan basically said, Ryan has assured me that he'll work with our community to ensure that venues such as the market or venues such as the fair or whatever else will be able to operate safely within the permits as long as we follow those conditions that are set out in those permits. One of the things that he basically has advised us is we have to show that there's going to be adequate parking. And adequate parking can mean that, yes, we say that the parking lot's full at 60 vehicles, whatever we can get in at Minerva Park, or we say that there's an overflow parking lot and people are directed to an overflow parking lot where they can go and park in an overflow parking lot and walk down. He wasn't aware that we do have boats traffic that pull up to the docks and stuff like that, and that's where he said, like, we do have out of that 1,500 vendors or 1,500 people that show up on the front on a Saturday morning, some of them do show up by boat traffic and stuff like that. So they do have a parking lot out there for them to show up. So that's got to be all considered in their permits and stuff like that. The other part of his email was signage along the highway and stuff like this. So he will be addressing the signage. He will be passing a law basically saying that there's no parking along the Highway 124 corridor in front of Minerva Park. He said that if we want to extend that no parking lot throughout the community of McKellar, we can ask to have that law changed or amended so it can continue with other parking along the Highway 124 corridor. But that's something that it's not for us to decide, or not for me to decide. That's for the council to decide. So, with any law, and I know it from having been working for 35 years in the, with my ministry, I know law and I know legislations and stuff like that. Laws and legislations are not easily enacted, so it takes some time for them to be enacted, and it will take some time for those signs to get up along the Highway 124 corridors. So his suggestion is when we apply for this permit, that we also apply for a permit to have signage that we will put up on the day that the market opens for that 3-hour period, so that we can put along the highway saying that there's no parking along the highway. And that we also have signage saying that we can direct them to an overflow parking area where they can go to, or have staff members say that there's an overflow parking area and direct them to that area. So that was one of his suggestions that he had brought to us until that signage gets placed up. So I also had another conversation about with him about, I know like us being all residents of McKellar here, we drive into Perry Sound, we drive by McDougal School, and you see a safety zone there. So I had a conversation about him, what would it take to enact a safety zone? So a safety zone, to my knowledge, has been tried before to be implemented in the town of McKellar.
So it's ongoing.
Yeah, so he said he would work with us, or he would put some people in contact with us to try to implement a safety zone, but it would not be the safety zone what you see at McDougal. It would be a different version of that safety zone, shown more signage, that and basically would be also signage would be to slow down traffic in these areas, you know, type deal to reduce the speed limits in that area. And he says once those safety zones are bastardized form of that safety zone is put in place, then it's enforceable by the OPP so that they can enforce it. And it's the same way that parking signs along Highway 124, it would be enforceable. For us to do the implementation of the permits this year of putting those signs along that Highway 124 corridor, it was just our private signs going up there saying no parking along there, so they would not be enforceable. All we would do is educating the public to park somewhere else for this year, so as we move forward.
Rob, you can mention that this is an election year too, and that Ryan had said that his crew wouldn't get these no parking signs up this year for us, but we're welcome to use our own H stakes and have our own no parking.
Yeah, that's what I said in the comment there. So I hope that clears up a lot of.
I guess we should talk about the public works.
Yeah, I hope that clears up a lot of miscommunication that's gone been on the social medias and stuff like that. There is rules, there is regulations that we have to follow, and hopefully these rules and regulations can get corrected by applying for this permit so that we are in compliance with the ministry standards. This is something that I wasn't aware of, and I don't think a lot of people were aware of that we had to have a permit in order to operate a venue such as the McKellar Market on the Highway 124.
Or the
just ask you a couple of questions before you finish, Rob.
Yeah.
So the do I understand the land use permit hasn't been applied for yet?
We will.
And will it be you applying or the township?
We, depending on what the council wants to do, it's like for us, it would be easy for us, knowing what we know now, to be able to go online and start that application process for the.
So I'm guessing from what I remember the way it was handled in the past, like we had to get land use permits here for work that was done here.
Yeah.
And I looked after that, so the land use permit can be applied for by anybody, but I think the signatures will have to be by the clerk administrator and probably the mayor.
So right now what it is an online process that the township of McKellar would apply for, and this once that permit's been in place, the conditions have been approved, It's not just a one-time deal. You have to apply for that every year. Yeah. So that's something to consider. You have to apply for it every year. As I said, it's just not for this event. It's for any event. So there's other.
So 150th next year, we're going to need that.
Yeah. So the other question on all the same lines then is you've mentioned you're going to be putting up the signage this year because MTO isn't going to have anything in place. Is that going to be part of your land use permit or is that a separate permit?
That will be part of this land use permit. Yeah. That will be spelled out in this land use permit, and we'll apply for it all at the same time.
Okay.
And Ina, as the clerk, there's a lot of information that you're going to need to fill out this application
me. We'll fill it out.
No, but I'm just going to, okay.
Yeah.
We'll fill it out and you go through it, I guess. And I'll come into the office one day and go through it with you. Okay.
And you'd mentioned the right-of-way that Ryan had mentioned in his letter. So the land use permit, as far as parking goes, is he talking about the actual travel portion of the road or the complete MTO corridor right-of-way, which would extend right to the driveway there and there somewhere going through there?
So he basically says that when we apply for this permit and stuff like this, so this permit is for anybody operating on MTO lands.
Yeah, so it'd be the full corridor then.
Yep, or anybody operating with, in our case, 120 or 180 meters from the center line of the highway, which we are operating 180 meters. So it doesn't matter which way we cut the cat here, we have to apply for this permit. So.
And as part of that land use permit, is he going to want you to show where you're going to provide parking? Like I know you've talked in here about...
He wants to know how many we can park in Minerva Park, and if we're going to have an overflow parking lot, where that's going to be, and what would we think of what the parking would look like in that area as well.
Okay.
Right now with MTO, no, sorry, I keep calling MTO, with the municipal garage area over there, because it's on the other side of the highway, they would not let, the patrons park in there until that's shown as a safety zone. And then people could cross the highway safely when it's a safety zone, but not until it's considered to be a safety zone. But vendors would be allowed to be able to park over there, and because vendors obviously come with their own vehicles and stuff like that, take up valuable parking spots, they would be allowed to park over there and then be and come across because they're not the ones that
do they have a concern about patrons parking up here and walking to the market?
Because there's a sidewalk along the side of the highway there.
So I think before you make application, you're definitely going to have to come and talk to the clerk, and it may have to come back to council again as far as parking at the garage, and that the road superintendent's going to want input in this, I'm sure.
We're not going to use that. We're going to rope off the garage public works parking.
Yeah, so there won't be no parking by the public there.
No.
It's only by
vendors.
They're not allowed there.
Still... You know, like in the construction season, and that he has oil spray and equipment in there, contractors and stuff.
So we'll work with Greg on that. But
and a lot of our vendors are very fortunate, Reg. They get to take their car to the booth.
Right, yeah.
In the park. So that's a perk in the color, which it works out really well, actually, within our space. Yeah.
Okay. Any more questions from council before we open it up? Any questions? Okay, my question is that for parking, obviously, is an issue. Is there any consideration about parking at the community center and having any type of shuttle service back and forth to the market?
So that's something we can all discuss as we move forward. Like, obviously, that would be a budgetary item that you'd have to think because it's additional expense, right? So, like... typically, what we do or what has happened in the past is the pavilion at Minerva Park becomes kind of like a drop-off spot. So we do have elderly people that can't walk very well. Family members drop them off in front of the pavilions. Young kids get dropped off in the pavilion, and typically the husband or whatever drives the car down the road and parks it and other things and walks back. So that's typically what has happened. And Ryan wasn't aware of that some of the stuff that we were already doing, you know, type deal. So he was kind of encouraged by some of the steps that we did have in place already. So.
And also, we like to have a wheelchair accessible spot open for people also as a drop off area.
So we're open to all suggestions. We're open to all input by the communities, by the vendors, whatever else.
It's just the other one is we can still park. We don't need a permit to park where it's widened up here by the community center where we do for the fair, where people park all along the road because there's a wide area that we don't need to.
So I'll,
do we need a special permit for that or no parking?
So,
I don't think so.
So
but we have to find out.
So I'll go back to Ryan, ask that question, you know, type deal, because I didn't ask that question, but at this time, to my understanding, he was trying to discourage anybody from parking along the Highway 124 corridor. So, and I understand that public safety is part of my job and in my real life there, you know, type deal. And if we can make this market more safer and public don't have to worry about not being unsafe, then I'm for that. So.
One more question before we get there.
Oh, okay.
Is that we have a lot of events already booked up in the community center that demand parking for weddings and stuff like that. So there's got to be some coordination of events so we don't throw a wedding party out of the way for parking during the time.
So you're aware.
Yeah. So how many we got? Five or six? Five or six this summer already booked. So,
yeah.
So just for this summer.
Just to kind of give you a bit of idea, like I've been basically every Saturday morning after I do the setups and stuff like this, I try to look after managing the parking lot so people are parking safely and stuff like that and getting them in. So on any given day, we will have probably, because of COVID, seemed to attract a lot more people here over the last 2 years, we would probably have maybe 20 to maybe 30 vehicles lined up along the side of the road, you know, type deal at certain points of the time. So that's what you would be kind of looking at for overflow in other areas would be 30 to maybe 40 vehicles at a time. Typically, when a person comes to shop in McKellar Market, they're not spending 3 or 4 hours in the parking lot. They're basically going to their favorite vendor, you know, type deal, picking up their whatever they're going to pick up, and they're gone within less than 15 minutes, you know, type deal. So it's not like it's a huge waiting period. And people can also wait within the parking lot itself, you know, type deal, for a spot to open up, and then they park in there and walk in. And they have done that. We have done that in the past. So it's just managing, being a parking attendant, managing the parking. It's going to be somewhat of a little bit of a juggling act. So,
first of all, as far as parking on the highway, I just want to add that I've been on the Agricultural Society as a director for 35 years. Intermittently on and off, there has been discussions with MTO, very brief. They have said over that period of 35 years that it's only one day and they would do any enforcement along that corridor at this time. Yeah. But the township initiated buying this property beside the rink just in case that ever did happen in the future.
Yeah.
Because we knew it could happen. So anyway, this morning, whenever I come here, I got here early and I looked out here where the baseball diamond is, the extension parking there, with a little bit of work there, leveling it out, and that there's probably room to park 100 cars out there without interfering with the parking space we have now for weddings and that. And I got Greg, I talked to him on the phone, Greg Gostick, the road superintendent. I paced off the length of the rink and the width of the field, and he knows roughly from looking before what the elevation is, and he told me for roughly $14,000 he could use the township forces and level that right out, create a driveway around the end of the rink, and you'd probably have room to park another 100 cars out there.
Yeah.
So.
Did you say cows?
Cars.
I just to get your hat straight.
I just spit my words out. That's all. I was thinking along the other line.
Okay. So the other question I have is that a lot of this was partly precipitated because there was a high demand to, and you can only handle 50 or whatever it is, your number. So the idea was to potentially move some people up to the,
yeah, and that's
up
not,
the community center.
Yeah,
so that was the original idea from what I understand. So there was been a suggestion through email that we look at Patterson Lane as a possibility for overflow on that, and I've asked staff, well, I don't think we have an answer yet of what's viable and what is legal and what we're allowed to do. And that's one thing. There was one email that I've heard about from the farms that's not possible, but I don't know the facts, so I don't want to get into any rumors. I don't want to deal with fact. So we have to explore if even that's possible. Or the other one is that the market manager says, no, we're staying with we're creating a demand for future. We're staying with 50, period.
I'd like to ask,
what's the farm? What's the farm?
The Ward's farm.
Oldest store?
Yeah, there's something about the land down
there.
That's
all. I don't know.
I don't know.
Lane is access to their business from both ends.
I know that, but that's not what I'm saying. There's something about legal something, and I don't know what it is yet. So I'm not going to deal with it until we have facts. We have to explore Patterson Lane, or the market manager says, no, we're going with 50, we're not expanding.
Actually, 60.
I'm going to tell you some facts if you'd let me speak.
Go ahead.
Whenever they got their approval to put the store in the place, they had to go through a site plan application and a rezoning. So their zoning permits them to have the store there, provided they provide the parking. So you cannot cut off their parking. Our bylaws say they have to have that parking for the patrons.
Oh, on the down the Patterson Lane, in there, the three or four spots,
right?
Yes. Which we say park at.
Yeah, so you can't cut off that portion of it because that is for their business to have
that. That's Reg. We wouldn't use that upper end of it
because it's the grade is too
much. We're not going to use that end. We're only using past their property down.
And I tell you, if you ever do approach that idea before you come to the township, I would suggest you talk to the owner of both sides of Patterson.
Yeah, Mr. Ball. Yeah, I know Mr. Ball.
But anyway, it's like what
I'm just raising it as an issue along with parking so that we deal with the facts of the situation. We don't have answers at this point. We don't have answers from the MPO on possibilities.
But it's like what you said there, Mayor. It's at any point, it's like going to a baseball stadium. Once the stadium's filled, it's filled. You know, big deal. Like kids, when do you put a cap on a venue? You know, big deal. So like, COVID is now hopefully lifted. You know, type deal. With COVID regulations, we had to have so many feet between each vendor. So that was 6 feet between each vendor in the parking lot. So that took up a lot of real estate when we were operating during COVID times. So during COVID times, we had roughly 50 to 55 vendors in there. So now with COVID lifting, we don't have to have that 6 foot spacing in there. So that will increase our capacity to be able to allow more vendors within the park itself, you know, just with COVID lifting. And so Jen and I came up with this with a rough figure of 60, but we have to probably go down there since the snow is gone, lay the park out again, and basically put a final figure of what could be there in the park this year.
Just a suggestion, I think you your plans going forward, you should in the future years have a backup plan of some kind if the park ever gets shut down for construction purposes, being the bridge or whatever.
Yep, there's always hurdles that you have to fall over. Yep. Like, as I said, 2 years ago, we're throwing a curveball with COVID, you know, type deal. So we jumped over that hurdle.
Right.
So this year, we've got an MTO permit process that we have to jump over this hurdle, you know, type deal. So every year, there's a hurdle, and we learn to grow with these hurdles and try to.
And back in 2018, the township was very courteous when building that pavilion, and they built it around the 11 weeks that we're open. And that pavilion was constructed, and Mayor Hopkins, we did our grand opening of the pavilion back in 2018. And so going forward with the bridge expansion, I'm very excited about that, if it can happen. And I'm sure if we work around the 11 weeks that we need to be open, that can be achieved.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to throw it out there to keep it in your mind.
No, it's just like anything.
Yeah.
Okay, just to play the devil's advocate then, there's been a lot of people who said that they would like to move to the community center. Not a lot. There's been some. Let me be fair and be open to both sides. Okay, I know a lot of the vendors have it. Is there any advantages to being up here on a more permanent basis that we should be looking at down the road from, let me finish before you say anything. So that we have better parking, we have better climate control situations, we have better washrooms.
I saw
that. We can
that
open up to the heritage room and therefore promoting our heritage room. We don't have the traffic problems that we've already outlined. We leave the Minerva Park as a park. I'm just giving you there are opposite opinions
that
need to be aired and fully addressed before we come up with
So a smart businessman never moves a successful business. Did you know that? Never. So having said that, the Minerva Park, Mayor Hopkins, you worked closely with the former market manager. And there's one. Okay, I thought it was just one before me. Okay, so you worked very closely with that market manager. You ensured that our vendors had electricity spread throughout the park that they can plug into. And our vendors need that electricity. We cannot be running electricity from the community center with cords. We just can't do that. It's a safety issue.
But as you say, like anything could be discussed or anything. So you just have to look at all options and all things as we move forward and stuff like that. The reason why Minerva Park is so accessible is because of its visibility and the atmosphere down there. And like Jan mentioned it in her thing. So it takes a long time to win over a vendor. You just don't win over a vendor by saying, like, do you want to show up at McKellar Market, you know, type deal? Because Jan says some of these vendors are spending a lot of their time over the winter period creating a product that they're going to try to sell at a market, you know, type deal. And if they go to a market where they don't have foot traffic or people coming and buying their wares and stuff like that, they will not show to that market, you know, type deal. So she did a lot of time and effort behind the scenes trying to convince people that this is our destination market that you want to come to. And people, once they arrived here, seeing how well it was organized and how well the foot traffic was at that certain area and also the friendly atmosphere of us inviting them there and stuff like that. And also, too, that we can't not appreciate is the boat traffic that comes there. You know, they feel like people enjoy jumping in their boat on a Saturday morning, coming across to the market. So we have to consider all of those things when we are looking at doing changes or trying to make changes, you know, type deal. Because vendors will basically, once they get accustomed to a thing, and there's some vendors now saying that they won't go into any other market because they enjoy the McKellar Market, you know, type deal. And that's some of the comments coming from them. And it's just because of the situation that we have provided for them here. And like Jan's been working at it for 6 years, and I've seen her working hard for the last 6 years, you know, type deal. Like that opening day with 16 vendors, you know, type deal, are trying to convince other people to leave other markets, to come to our market. That was a huge undertaking, and she did a good job of trying to convince people that this is the place that they should be. So,
just on the other point is we've had two successful markets in Thanksgiving and Christmas markets up here that have been jammed full of people all
so
over
the problem,
place. What, they're not even here.
No, the last 2 years we hold our Thanksgiving market in the park.
We did because of COVID.
You know what? And that tradition's going to live on. I can get so many vendors in there. It's amazing. And the fall colors is just spectacular on the lake. It's such a festive atmosphere. It's breathtaking, Ina. It's totally breathtaking. Mary, I know you were at the market for Thanksgiving. Oh, no, you missed Thanksgiving. Right. You had a family commitment. But that day, you know what, guys? It maybe it poured rain on us, but our vendors and our clients, or, I mean, not clients, our patrons, they didn't care. They just wanted to be there with us. And it was just an amazing day. And the problem with the community center, we of course, that is something I really want to discuss with Mayor and Council. I'm very excited about something. I've already sold out for the Christmas market because we can only get 32 vendors in here. But for the Christmas market, I just wondered other places, what they do is they utilize their outdoor arena and they get heaters. And we could have like a festive wonderland with heater, like it would be heated. It wouldn't be that much money to have those heaters, right? Mm-hmm. So then we would have the two to work with, so I could expand that 32, maybe up to my 60 again, which is pretty exciting. I thought about that too. I'm always thinking, I'm always looking at different ways to, how can we do this better? I always seem to come up with different ideas and stuff, and it's been a learning curve. Like, I used to do trade shows as an economic development officer. I used to, Rob knows this, I used to put on huge trade shows, and they were in arenas, and we'd have cars brought in from dealerships, so there'd be cars, and there'd be everything in that arena, and so, anyhow.
I would like to hear from people who are zooming in and people from the audience to give their input, and then I'd like you to consider what are the short-term things that we can do for this year, and I think that's really the long-term things for a longer and more complete discussion. So those are the two things I'd like to make sure that we do. Three things. One, hear from the public, look at short-term resolutions for the summer, and then figure out how to go forward for a long term, if that's everybody's wish. Because unfortunately, I have to go in a half an hour, and I'll turn it over to Morley.
So. I thought it was 11 o'clock. You were supposed to be out of here.
Well, I made an executive decision. 11:30.
Okay.
She'll have to wait.
I know, but she's got an appointment.
She's getting an eye injection, so I'm sure she'll wait. Anyway, so it's in Barry's, or in Aurelius. We've got to get down there. So I miss, if there's anyone from here, first of all, and then we'll go to here to, if we can get people, we'll get Mary to help us through all this. Yes, sir. Please state your name.
Yes, Wayne Ward, and I would like the council and the mayor's permission to speak.
Yes.
Thank you. First of all, I just want to say we have been at the market for some 3 years, but I know my wife had some medical problems and we had to kind of discontinue, although we worked hard and we definitely support the market. I have no pitches about the market being what it is because it's a wonderful thing. It's great for the community. My only concern is, and I share this with Rob. Rob's been a law enforcement officer for a lot of years. I have been 45 years. I've worked traffic for a lot of years. The safety issue on the highway is my biggest concern. The boat ramp crap, I don't care about. It's the people crossing the highway with their kids in my arms. And like I live right across the road, so I had an opportunity for the last few years to monitor what's been going on there. And like Rob says, certain times of that market, the traffic really builds up there and it causes a bottleneck to traffic. And then you've got people coming in from that 80-kilometer zone, which certainly has to be altered and changed because they're coming in whipping there. and all of a sudden there's a bottleneck, there's people crossing the highway from their vehicles, which causes a real safety concern. It's an accident looking for a place to happen. That was my biggest concern about that. I have spoken with Mr. Herbrand from the MTO. I'm well aware of different ministries that I've dealt with as a police officer. I had a long talk with him. I sent him a letter, and I share the same concerns as Rob. It's basically the safety issue on that corridor. He did assure me that in order about the permit stuff that I saw in his letter, that has to be addressed. But posting the shoulder for no parking in that particular zone is a step forward. And he, again, as Rob said, legislation takes time to enact something under the Highway Traffic Act to be enforceable by the OPP. But he said, in the interim, we can post the shoulder temporarily to discourage that kind of stuff, and of course arrange for parking elsewhere if the market is to continue at Minerva Park. Okay, so basically that's all I got to say. My biggest concern, I'm being a former policeman, you being a law enforcement, you know the criteria for the highways. One other thing that I did witness last year, I know you have firemen that come to help you at the site, but I observed a number of times firemen out on the highway directing traffic without a police presence. That's not allowed under the Highway Traffic Act. I saw that happen.
Rob has identified that.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know you did.
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's only for the police under the Highway Traffic Act.
The only thing
that
we can do, Wayne, is, how do you say that, Rob? Our traffic.
No, Wayne's right. We can't direct traffic. We have no authority to direct traffic.
But we can educate them.
So at this point in time, we're going to be educating the public.
Well, what I'm pointing out is, if you have an accident scene on the highway where there's firemen stuff assisting the police at an accident scene, they may be given direction to direct traffic around the accident scene.
Right.
But to get out and control traffic on the highway is against the Highway Traffic Act unless you're a police officer assigned to that duty.
Yeah.
So, again, I support the market. I think it's a wonderful thing. I think my wife would agree with me.
I just wish you guys would come back.
It's just a safe location because I was worried because it has grown dramatically. Your market has grown dramatically in the last few years, and the parking has grown dramatically along that highway route. And it got so bad on the one shoulder that they were actually parking out on the travel portion of the northbound lanes there. So it was causing that bottleneck to occur. And I thought, sure as hell, somebody's going to get knocked down or it's going to be a collision. In fact, there was last year, near the end of one day at the market, a guy went in the ditch with his car. An ambulance got called, the police were there. That's just one little incident. The guy got a little minor injury, but everything was okay.
Well, I didn't even
wasn't. Oh yeah, I watched the whole thing. So
is that been reported on the police record?
Oh yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay.
The guy was it was a dark car, went in the ditch there, just near the opening of the park.
Oh, in the park.
No, not in the park. Just off the roadway there, right where your entrance to your park is. On the.
It's not because he is driving. He drove in there. He got stuck.
He got stuck or something.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's not because of an accident.
Yeah.
So
no,
he's not blowing out of proportion here.
No, wait a minute. I saw he drove off the road.
Yeah, it was because
the police were called and an ambulance was called, so I don't know about that.
Well, the farmer moved there.
But nevertheless, the whole thing is traffic safety.
Yeah.
That's my concern, and that's all.
Yeah.
Right. We're acknowledged that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for that. Is there anyone else here like to speak or we go out there? Yes, ma'am. Please state your name and everything.
It's Suzanne Ward, and I live at 124 Highway, right across from the market. Rob had just made a comment about blowing things out of proportion. Well, our driveway was used like a parking lot, and it was used constantly for turning vehicles that were coming in and out of the market. You know, having someone sit at the end of your driveway for 15 minutes trying to pull out, they can't see, they can't this, they can't that, and back up to the point that they almost go down the embankment. Now, this is just one comment. Go out to help, you have to be careful. Even yourself, directing people out of that situation.
Yeah.
And to make a comment, what the hell is this? You know what? If I'd known it was like this, I wouldn't have come. So hopefully that's going to be corrected.
Yeah.
And again, if it does happen this year, who's going to fix it?
I'll let Rob answer that.
Rob, so look after that because people, signs are signs.
It's actually
and
the OPP.
A lot of them ignore them. You know that.
The OPP look after that.
So no parking signs along the highway and stuff like that. Once, as
as your husband has pointed out as well, and I've also pointed out, it takes some time for legislation to be enacted, and once it's enacted, then legal signs can be posted along the Highway 124 corridor, so right. they can be enforced by OPP.
Mm-hmm.
So signs along the highway, which we will apply for this year, that say no parking, is basically an educational park or sign that's going to go up. So this year, no, there won't be no enforcement where people will be charged, per se, mm-hmm. but there will be education where people will be said that they can't park there and they'll be directed to other where. So that we will have staff. Mm-hmm.
That's call, including the bicycle lanes on both sides of the highway.
Yeah, that comes.
So to alleviate that problem, our goal is to have no parking along the Highway 124 corridor.
Within the village.
No, in front of Minerva Park this year.
Yeah.
That is our
yeah,
goal.
It's like, only. So going down past Minerva Park and up past our place, who's going to look after that?
Is that policed by OPP? Where Wayne and Suzanne live, is that OPP territory?
So you bring a good point. So this is a meeting where we provide or get input and we also get ideas and stuff like this. So we got that where it changes from the speed limits down there. We can put probably signage from that point all the way through so that there's no parking in front of your place. So there's no problem with that. It's just a matter of us being able to put that signage up and being able to take that up during
we
the time
have
when the market.
Requested the speed sign to be changed and moved further.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it hasn't happened yet.
We spoke,
but that's in the process for this spring,
yeah.
from what I understand, that talking with Craig. So that's already been in. The community safety zone is, we're still working on documentation to get that done.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the third thing. So it's all going to be all combined. We need to provide a safe community.
So I can't promise you the world here, but we'll do the best we can
well,
to try to correct some wrongs here to try to get this done. So.
We didn't have parking in our driveway. It's just when you're seeing people pull in and they're trying to pull out and pull out and pull out, it just went on all summer. Anyway, another thing is that the consensus seems to be there is no movement here for the park ever. That you're talking like, we're going to do this. You're not even looking into the situation up here at all?
So it's basically...
Have you done a survey to see...
Basically, our job is here today is to look in or into explore all opportunities. So
mm-hmm.
this is what the mayor has brought up. So if there is other consensus or other things where people, where it should be moved, then you look at those things. But it doesn't matter where McKellar Market is. We still have to...
Oh, there's a comment right there. It doesn't matter where McKellar Market is.
No,
whether it's here, there, which is a
so
lot
we
larger
have,
space.
We have to...
It's a lot safer.
So
we don't get
into
the argument.
You're only taking one part of it.
Just hold for a second. We haven't solved any problems yet at this point in time. What we're going to be looking for is short-term
mm-hmm.
resolutions and long-term resolutions.
Right.
So what we're just trying to do is make sure that we have all the situation so that council and the market people and this is going to move forward with an interim plan and then to take a look at a long-term plan. Ron's saying, you're moving this year and that's it. That's not the process that we would definitely ever go through. But we have to deal with safety issues. There's no question about
that. That's the main
thing. We understand that.
Well, that's
and
right.
That's been very clear. And I don't know what the steps are. We've heard some, but maybe there's more. We've got to deal with people parking all over the place. So we know that that's the number one issue. Overflow is the second one, and then eventually would be the whether or not there's going to be any move down the road. But that's down the road. So
mm-hmm.
we're talking about this year.
Right.
And that's what I think we should be focusing on right now.
But that's
but
what
I think. Need all the input from people.
So
how much input does council have on the market?
How much input have we received?
And decisions.
Oh, lots of emails have come in. I don't do the social media, but I'm sure people do in this thing, and that's always brought forward. Okay. Everybody has their opinion. Mm-hmm. Okay. And this is an open meeting just to get make sure we have all the opinions and stuff like that before. Then if a decision or a resolution was going to be made, it would be brought forward for public input, mm-hmm. and then we would go from there. So it was a series of processes.
Isn't that almost like a standing committee? Creating a standing committee with the market?
I think, well, that could be one issue that comes out of today, that we create one. I would think that that's for the long-term situation. That could be a solution, absolutely.
Okay,
yep.
Because you could have, you know, your council, your council person there, your chairperson, your committee members, which could be vendors.
Yeah.
That could do a lot of input, a lot of creativity for expansion, whatever.
Could be.
And then it's open to meetings for the public. We can come in. They would conduct it like a regular meeting if it's a standing committee. Is that not true?
Yep.
Well, we're on the subject of parking. I'd like to suggest that maybe the township should look at the liability issue around the temporary signage that the MTO will want as part of the land use permit. You know, like the MTO is saying, yes, this is what we require, but is the township still going to be covered in a liability suit if something happens?
So once we apply for this permit, there is, under the HTA, there's provisions in the HTA of what that signage is to look like, and once it's in that permit, then there are the ones that are approving it, so the liability does not come back onto
I still think we should check, we need to check with our insurance provider to make sure, because we know very well if there's an accident. You as the market manager or the vendors aren't going to be named in that lawsuit. It's going to come to the deep pockets, whether it be MTO or the township.
But along there, like the signage will be basically saying no parking all along there. So I just
we know everybody's named in a lawsuit. You know that, Rob.
But
and it always is the deep pockets.
Mm-hmm. And these are the things that I already approached Ryan with, so he had already had assured me that once we apply for that permit, there is a signage parameters, and they are approved under the HTA, under Section 34, too. So once those goes up, they're the ones that are approving those signages under that permit. So
this is going to
As Township Council doing their due diligence.
This is our due diligence.
We have to do that. You're right. Our due diligence is to protect the public.
No
matter what your legislation says.
Right.
Now,
and we agree that would be part of the situation.
When we were at the market, for the 3 years we did the market, it was a bottleneck too, come the last year. We had traffic problems. And of course, it just went on and on.
Suzanne,
people were directed to park in the works department. All of a sudden, it got into a bottleneck. Oh, go over there and park. It was.
Suzanne, did you appreciate all the customers that came and bought product from you?
Well, of course I did. But
I know you did.
I didn't appreciate the traffic on the outside.
Yeah, as a vendor, a market is not successful without the patrons. Okay,
so,
and you know that, Suzanne.
But
and
you have to look down the road to have a bigger market with more patrons.
Right.
Like, how safe is it? Down here or out here?
Mm-hmm.
Where you've got people, where are they going to? Where's the hazard going to be the worst?
Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to?
About what's coming on social media. Heard outside McKellar, things that are coming in on the social media. Kill the Market was by a certain individual, which I can't name, but I won't. And other comments that were made were just disgusting. A certain situation was brought in that my husband mentioned and Mr. Richard.
We can't control that.
It was completely fabricated. Where it came from, we all might know where it did, but we'd like to know. So this has created an influx of dissension, and, you know, it's now coming down to the middle of the market situation. We don't want to kill the market. We want the market to be successful. And we want it to grow. We want it to produce revenue in a good way, and we want everybody to be happy. That's our main goal. But I think if there's ongoing meetings that are open to the public and a resolution is made to have it as a standing committee, we would all benefit a lot better and have more input put into it. And with the 150th coming, it's going to bring more people, definitely. And the celebration, where are you going to have it? You're going to have it. And another situation, Jan had mentioned doing the arena and having the heaters put up and having it decorated. I can imagine that. That would be fantastic. Well, where are you going to pull in the hydro? Because there are generators out there?
There's hydro there.
There's hydro in this arena.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Sure, we've had community events in there. There's all about every second post, there's an outlet. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, when it rained and poured, when we were at the market a few times as vendors, we came, there were maybe two or three of us there, and we were there going through the whole thing, putting our tents up and doing the whole thing. Now, with the space that you have there, you could be ongoing.
We can't fit in
market.
There, Suzanne, anymore. I mean, we're too large the market to fit in the
I'm
arena.
Not talking just fitting in the marina. You have other space you can utilize. If people want their tents, they can put them out. If they don't, they can come inside and just have their tables up.
So if you're down in the hole and you're driving along the highway, how are the people going to see you down in the hole?
How's what?
If you're down in the hole and you're basically driving
in the arena, like you have to go down the hill. You don't see the arena from the road.
I think these comments are going to be left for future meetings if we have a committee to do longer term.
Well, that's what I'm
these are ongoing. These are things that there should. Whether it's visibility, when we have the fall fair, even though it's one day, we never have any problem having people move through the whole complex here. So it's jammed 1,500 plus. Mm-hmm. In the market on a good day, not always good days, but generally in a good day. Yeah. So these are the particulars. The issues right now are, what are we going to do for this summer? We know we have a safety issue that we've got to deal with parking and safety and all that sort of stuff, mm-hmm. and the liability things that we have to deal with. So that's something that, let me finish. That these are the things that we have to deal with, and I would like to hear from other people, because I only have 10 more minutes
I want
to make sure I hear as much information as possible.
One more question. The firefighters, they're volunteering?
Yes.
They weren't paying?
I don't know, actually.
We don't know yet.
There was no payment.
Actually, Suzanne, to my acknowledgement, mm-hmm. they were not paid. I have not been informed of that, and that is from the honest truth. As for, and I do want to say something. We just went through 2 years of pandemic, okay? Certain regulations from the Ministry of Health had to be put in place, and I did a fantastic job. I did a fantastic job at that. And I also know that our municipality was provided COVID funding for whatever they decided would keep our community safe. And you can speak to Ina, Mayor, and Council with regards to what they use that money to upgrade our office or whatever. So I'm not privy.
I know all that. I'm asking a specific question.
I know I'm not privy to what they use their COVID money for.
So, I won't waste my time with Roisin, but I'd like to know.
We're debating this.
They earned points. Mm-hmm. They earned points, and they got paid on their points. Mm-hmm. Only because of the COVID requirements that they were required for safety reasons, mm-hmm. so they were paid on a point system. Now that COVID is no longer a requirement, any time that the fire department firefighters would be spending there would be strictly volunteer. It would not be points earned for their time at the marker.
Thanks, Adam.
Okay. Again, what we're trying to do is listen to everybody, and I see your hand up, Mr. Bouchard, that we are trying to hear as many different people so that we can come up with either a second meeting, but a series of short-term situations and maybe a long term with the committee. So that's for us. So go ahead.
I'll make it quick. I wanted to applaud and express my gratitude to Jan and Rob for acting to make this a safer venue and dealing with the MTO. I also want to express my gratitude to them for telling me that they don't hold me in contempt for going to the MTO. I do have a question. Have the managers, yourself, the two of you, reviewed the impact of the Ontario law for Ontarians with Disability Act and how it is impacting Operation Innocent?
Yes, actually, Michael, thank you for bringing that up. I actually would like to address that.
I'm good at bringing things up.
I'd like to address that. Because
I'm not commenting on that, just so you know.
Actually, I really appreciate you brought that up because my mother-in-law was in a wheelchair with MS. So our family's very sensitive to this issue, okay? So last year, I had a gentleman that played in a band for us at the market. And he's confined to a wheelchair. And I do have a lovely letter here that I can share with everyone. Dear Jan, I trust this letter finds you well and recovering from another busy market day. By the way of a personal introduction, I am a resident of McKellar and have been since I retired and relocated from Stony Creek some 5 years ago. Since arriving, I have refocused myself on my passion for music and being a musician. Over the past years, I've experienced significant mobility issues and am now at the point where my wheelchair has become my constant companion, along with my microphone, of course. It is from these two perspectives, as a musician and as a handicapped member of the McKellar community, that I would like to share some personal observations regarding my experience at the McKellar market. As someone who has recently began to rely on a wheelchair for most of what I do, I notice many scenarios which are particularly challenging for the handicapped that previously never crossed my mind as an able-bodied person. I have attended the market in previous years on 2 feet and always have enjoyed visiting the many vendor stalls and listening to the musicians of the day. Honestly, I wasn't sure that the market visits were going to be a part of my life as anymore as because of my mobility challenges, but I want you to know that I was pleasantly surprised and at what I experienced.
I appreciate that. If I could just further comment.
We hear what you're saying. So something we have looked into and stuff like that, we probably would appreciate maybe an email from you of what your concerns are so we can look into what you
want. I can tell you in one line.
Okay.
That's nice. That's anecdotal. But there is an act in place that is extremely specific about all the conditions required. So I would refer you to the act. I think it's incumbent upon you to look at that act to see what conditions are required in order to be in compliance.
We
offer to volunteer
to
help in going through that documentation.
Actually, we really appreciate, Mike, that you offered that to volunteer. But we will, Rob and I will take that forth and investigate that for you.
That's good. This is the next one. We're not supposed to volunteer for anything.
That's a cute statement. So anyhow, thank you for bringing that forward.
I'm going to turn it over to our deputy mayor at this point in time to particularly, we've referred to people here, but particularly to get people from Zoom who may have their hand up because we did miss some people at the last meeting, unfortunately, and we never picked that up for a variety of reasons, but it wasn't on purpose or anything, that just happened. So we want to make sure that we listen to all parties, and then I would like to see when I get back that there is some short-term things moving forward, and maybe that entails a committee Maybe, I don't know. That's up to you to decide, and we can go from there. Okay? But thank you all for coming, and I'm sorry I have to. Okay, we can continue with the meeting as we were. We're hearing some people present. Is there anybody else present who would like to speak? Dort?
Hi, Peter. Thank you.
Actually, the only person I could hear was Peter. There had to be an absentee, and there's no closed caption. So I'd like to thank that lady and that lady for doing everything they could for about 3 years to make my be able to attend the meetings and participate. But it hasn't happened yet.
I know.
And it's just this woman who grew up, she came to my house last night for free and tried to get it working for her. But I've had enough. Mm-hmm. 3.5 years I've been a nice guy, but you know, this is my home. All I want to do is participate. Mm-hmm. There's no closed caption in the day. The only person that can help, but this. I'm not a bad man. I just came here. I'm not a stupid man. And I've been trying for all these years. And on the issue, all I'd like to say, it's easier to break something than it is to fix it. So I'd like to see it stay where it was. But I wouldn't like, and then I hear the rumors, they might be building a bridge or whatever. So why would you build a bridge if you're moving the park? If you're moving the... Why would you spend $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000 to build a bridge? There's not going to be a market there. So no money should be spent on that until everything is firm. The market should be allowed to continue. It should be subsidized with everything they need until a firm decision is made on everything. But we shouldn't be spending all kinds of money. If you're going to spend that much money, expropriate somebody's property for parking. Or buy something close to it. But that's what it ended up being. It's an exercise in futility. Until you find out, don't spend any money other than to keep the operation running smoothly and legally for whatever is required for parking and stuff. But we shouldn't be spending any money unless we know what's going to be there. That's about it. Sorry, everybody.
Thank you, Gord. That was a very good point on long-term goals. Reg?
I'd just like to say that I obviously you didn't hear because there was no commitment to spend any money anywhere. Oh, the only thing that was mentioned was for projects in the future. The only mention of anything that I remember.
Okay. Well,
there's been no commitment to spend any money that I know of, so I don't know where you heard that.
Well, they never said anybody, that's just what you hear. Some mentioned, not by you or anybody else, but the general consensus was there might be something started on the park.
In the future,
well.
And it's still a park.
What?
It's still a park.
Well,
whether the market's there or not, it's still a park.
That's okay.
Okay, thank you, guys. Okay, anybody else in the audience here before we go to the online participants? Okay, anybody want to participate from online?
I do have a Daniel Boucher said it would be very difficult to have a market and a wedding at the community center on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else that would like to say something?
Yeah. Phil's got his hand up.
Okay. Go ahead, Phil. You have to unmute yourself.
There we go. Just had to unmute. Like everyone else, I want to applaud the efforts of Rob and Jan. Jan and Rob, you're doing an outstanding job. I'm glad some stuff has been able to come forward to council and get these things figured out. Yes, safety is always a priority, number one. Doesn't matter what happens here or down the road. 50% of the people are going to like it. 50% of the people are going to hate it. Let's all work together. Let's come to a common goal. I really want to see the market stay where it is. I think we have a uniqueness to our market, the ability for cottagers and us ratepayers to come by boat. I think it's just a whole new way of doing things. It's fun, right? It's fun. I also thank you for having the opportunity to be able to participate in the market the way I do. And let's not just talk about it all the time. Let's move forward. Let's make some decisions. Decisions have to be made. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else online would like to speak to the subject?
Anyone else from online?
Nobody else? Okay. One more comment.
Just one point.
Oh.
Is that going to be transcribed?
Yeah.
Okay, so there'll be a transcription that I have everything that's said today. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, I'll go back to the one comment online. Maybe Rob can touch on this a little bit, and that was in regard to parking here at the community center, and maybe if there's a wedding on at the same time. Is that something that you're even considering to direct traffic to this community center? I don't think that really came up.
So when we apply for this permit, we have to basically tell MTO where the overflow parking lots were. And that's something we're going to have to come as a group here to decide where these overflow parking lots were and what venues may be conflicting with overflow parking. So that's something we have to, more or less going to have to do a bit of a balancing act or a juggling act, you know, that gives to ensure that we're not affecting somebody else's event, you know, to deal with those things. So if there is a wedding going on here, maybe there is a certain part of the community center that, or sort of this area here that would be only designated for people to park in, you know, to deal with, as opposed to trying to interfere with somebody else's.
Yeah, that brings me to another point that Councillor Moore brought up about talking to our road super about looking at the possibility of adjacent property that the township bought within the last couple of years of having it as a parking lot area. And when you were talking to Greg Reg, did he mention that that's something, it sounded like it was easily possible, that it sounded like something he could fit in this year? Did he touch on that at all?
Yep.
Like maybe council, and again, including all of council in this conversation, is that something council would maybe even consider and give a direction to have that made into a parking lot in the extreme near future in time for the market this summer? Is that something we could consider?
Talk about budget, $13,000 for materials.
Right.
So, yeah.
Doing all of his own courses, right?
Right.
So in Rossall, that's exactly, I've been in touch with Craig Jeffrey. He's the CAO at Seagwood, right? And that's what they do, is they have a parking lot, but they will shuttle the people to the market.
Right. Now, yeah. I'm not talking about shuttling, like, unless it was people with disabilities, but I don't see, a lot of people could probably just easily walk there.
Yeah.
I don't think if a shuttle service wasn't set up, it could still function as a backup parking area, I would think. Hey, Rob, is that set up?
That's what we're going to propose in this permit, is identifying other venues where people can park, and by all means, we're going to need input. And we're not just going to drum this up willy-nilly type deal.
Yeah. I think we got to do whatever we can, at least that's my personal opinion, at least for this year, is to make sure the market functions properly, safely, and if I think council can assist in that way at all by maybe looking at seeing if we could get something. But I'm a little worried when you're talking to MTO about where you're going to push the traffic to, that whether they'll actually be satisfied out of that.
So Ryan's comment was, if we cap the parking at Minerva Park to whatever it is, then that's capped, you know, to a deal. But he said he would feel more comfortable approving the permit if we had an overflow area. So that's something that
that idea. You would welcome that idea if that was to happen, because I would say to you, say, well, maybe a few over there, a few here, which they may not feel too good about.
I would say, I can't speak for the MTO, obviously, or Ryan, but I would think they'd look favorable on this spot because of the commercial entrance, double wide entrance here coming in as a parking area more than other places.
So that's some of the things that needs to be all considered and brought forward. You know, the deal, like, I'm kind of familiar with McKellar layout and stuff like this, but I just don't know all the online details that you just pointed out there being a commercial entrance and all this other stuff. So, like,
good point.
Okay. So that's something. If that could be put on whenever council's going to have another meeting, is the potential of dealing with maybe some work done on this adjacent property, and also a report on that from our road super.
So the other thing is, and we never really brought it up, is a few years ago, and it's just not going to service the market, but it will also service the park itself, you know, type deal. There were some discussions around the parking lot there of improvements, you know, type deal. Yes, there's been some grading, you know, type deal that's taken place, but there's never really been no major...
there can actually be more spots made there.
To see what we can identify there.
Yeah, personally, when we decided to put a lot of work into the park, you know, with the pavilion and docks and everything, always looked at it. There was budget restrictions, so you said, well, it'd be nice to get better park. And we did expand it a bit there, kind of thing, but I still see more potential at some point.
So there's a lot of, there is some, and Reg will probably know this better than I, but there is some spots, just some low spots in that area. If a tile or a culvert would put in, you know, they would drain that one area of the park. The park, you know, they deal. So
that would extend their footage too.
Yeah, so that would provide a little bit more dry area for people to park, I guess. So.
Right. Okay, going forward, I think we can start thinking about wrapping it up. Is there any last comments, Council?
I guess the only other thing I could say is just a brief conversation I had with you this morning was looking at the parking area out here, and then if there was a function going on here, you could completely separate off, whether it be with a snow fence or whatever, the paved parking area from the parking area below for your patrons. And use the lower entrance. There's another entrance down there, right?
Yeah.
So we just have to level out that
they
ball
use that
field
for
area.
The fall fair.
Pardon?
They use that entrance
yeah,
for the fall
for
fair.
The horse show and that.
Yeah.
So that area would just have to be leveled out and put gravel on. I haven't even talked to Greg about that, but there's probably room to park 50 or 100 cars there easily. And it'd be completely separated from any function going on here that wouldn't even impact on the tall. You're using a different entrance and everything.
Thanks.
So anyway, that's another thing.
Thanks. That's a great idea,
yes.
Rich. And Rob, did you mention earlier something about the overflow could potentially be, you're thinking of 50-car range?
So I will have to go back through my figures and stuff like this, but I think it's going to be in that neighborhood of 50.
Yeah.
So the other thing I'd like to do is just go down to Minerva Park itself, measure out the whole parking lot to see how many vehicles we can get comfortably in there, you know, type deal, safely in there, and then we would have a better idea of what additional parking would look like elsewhere in the area.
Okay, so additional to discussing, I know the property next door, we should have discussions on at least maybe possibly temporary parking on the ball field out here, which really it's going to be used again, luckily, this summer, but it's a children from 3 to 8, so that, you know, they're not going way out if we have to put, you know, gravel a portion of for temporary parking for the market. I'm sure that's something we can look at also, so we should have discussions on that. Okay, I think it's wonderful. I think the original thing on the agenda was a discussion with the market manager, Jan, and Rob, of course, attending. On safety concerns brought forward by Ryan Herbrandt of MTO. I think we have done that. Rob, I think you've done a wonderful job at grabbing the bull by the horns. We were worried as a council coming in here, it's like, oh no, is this going to boil down to deciding where this market's going. If we're going to shut it down, my first reaction was, oh my God, we're going to have to close it down. Luckily, the very last paragraph said about the permits, so yeah, it's like, oh, okay, there's still a chance.
That's where I got kind of shut down a wee bit there, and I never got able to finish my sentence. But it doesn't matter where the market is, we still have to comply by MPO standards. That was going to make my comment before I got shut down there. But that's where it is. So it doesn't matter where it is. It doesn't matter if it's a market, it doesn't matter if it's a fall fair or everything else.
Weddings, I guess. No, not weddings, because
they are controlled parking within this area and they're not congregating large numbers of people. So it's just fairs and bigger events. So.
And, okay, I think this can be dealt with the short term for this year, and then as mentioned by, I think it was Suzanne, about maybe looking at a committee for long term, whether how Jan or whoever wants to be set up, where we do have individuals, and just look at the Keller's, going forward kind of thing, and what goals, because if we want to continue to expand, which I think worries me a little bit, at some point it's like, whoa, okay, my Keller is overwhelmed kind of thing, so I think we have to know where we're going a little bit, so maybe that's something we deal with in the future. I think until this summer ends, I think it's a positive feeling going forwards at this point with Rob dealing with MTO that we'll get something in place. You can correspond with council, send whatever you're getting to Ina right away. She can forward to the rest of council and we can be prepared to make decisions at future council meetings. So hopefully everything you get is positive and the market will continue on as always, because it is very important to keep that going.
So just one word of advice, or one comment, I guess, is Ryan says that with any permitting process, it takes time, and anybody being in the permitting thing does, it's just something. So personally, I would like to get the ball rolling.
We have to apply for this permit.
Applying with the permit next week, type deal, and getting into the nitty-gritties, and we'll work with Ina on how to get that finalized and approved, with the conditions and all that stuff.
And you can let us know. We will still have time, whether it could be done at our next council meeting or a council meeting, as that process you're working for. I'm a little worried about time there, whether it would help if it is shown that council is in support of what you're doing to make sure that the market does continue this year. For sure not. So if there's any doubt in his mind whether is that something that the community wants or council wants, I make us aware and then we could maybe pass a resolution if that would help.
So to ease your mind there is steps that has to be taken. Step one is you put in the application. So or apply for to get the permit. So once you put that application in, somebody will contact us from MTO and they'll work with us through that permitting process. And so that's when we start get all engaged with different folks, I guess.
What would your estimate on time? Are you feeling like in a couple of months maybe you can get everything?
Oh, we'll have an answer before that with Ryan.
No, like next week we can get the application process started, and then we'll probably be, someone will reach out to us, and then we can probably get that. And once we get the application filled out, then it's up to them to approve the permit. So I can't say on their timelines what it was. I know through with my ministry on COVID period and stuff like that, like things weren't being rubber stamped tomorrow. Type deal. It took sometimes two or 3 weeks. Type deal before they're rubber stamped.
So. That's right. My concern is when we leave this meeting, it's being worked on. At some point, it'd be nice to have a council meeting and Peter be back in the chair here and say, thank you, Rob and Jan. The market will continue on in a safe manner. That's what we're hoping to do within the next month or two. It would be wonderful. Just so all our public know, too, because they're really looking forward to going to the market. And this kind of put that little cloud over it a little bit.
Yep, so. I can't see it being any different than...
And Ryan's aware of our opening day.
Yep, and I can't see it being any different than working with the Ministry of Health, type deal. Like, they realized that we had to write a COVID plan, type deal. They realized we had to apply to them to ensure that we opened in a safe manner and stuff like that. And then we had to have an inspector come out and inspect the promise, or the premise, you know, to be before the market could open. So that was a huge undertaking, just in COVID times, right? So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we've got everybody covered. I have got a resolution put in front of me. Do we need a number prior to, or is 129. That?
129.
129? Okay. Okay, on April 8th, resolution number 22-129. I'll read it and then we'll get a mover and seconder. That the Council of Township McKellar does hereby request the Director of Operations to prepare and present a report to Council on the creation and cost of a park of parking spaces on the property beside the rink to service overflow parking from McKellar Market or any other municipal function. And further, create a report on viability of using the ball field as a temporary parking area for the 2022 market season using the lower entrance. Could I have, before a council discussion, I'll maybe I can get a mover and seconder. Ridge, you're moving it.
Not too many choices.
Mike, yeah, thanks for coming through, guys. That was big. Okay. Okay. Can I, any comments then from our mover and seconder on this motion? Okay.
So, so this is good that this is on the table and that we can have incorporated into the budget discussions to ensure that there's the finances available to ensure that any of this work that needs to be formed, that there's the finances to complete it.
Very good comment. Councillor Kekkonen. Okay, I will call for the vote. All those in favor? That is carried.
We have a councillor online.
I'm sorry.
So we should be recording the vote.
Nick, did you have any comments prior to the vote on this motion?
Yes, sorry. I realized I was muted anyway, but now I'm not. Perhaps then we should amend the motion simply to say, you know, subject to or ask Greg to prepare a budget for doing the work that you've described, or at least the evaluation of the work. Right? I mean, as it pertains to ball field, I don't think there's a specific cost other than potentially to repair it if there was damage done to it. But in terms of the additional property, I mean, obviously there would be a cost involved. It would be worthwhile knowing what that cost would be or at least estimated. I mean, in other words, I think we should simply include with the direction to provide an estimate of the associated costs.
Okay, area. Including costs, I will put in here.
Yeah. I don't think it needs to be more specific than that, and I don't, you know, it doesn't need to be, you know, a cost just to do the estimate. I mean, it's just a ballpark.
So, the temporary parking area, including costs for the 2022 market.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you guys fine with that, or should initial?
Yeah, I need to record the vote.
Okay, yeah, good idea.
Can you read it now with the amendment? So that's... I believe that there's still some discussion on further cost, signage, et cetera, that will have to be discussed at the budget meeting regarding this as well.
Okay, so to reread it, that the Council of the Township of McKellar does hereby request the Director of Operations to prepare and present a report to Council on the creation and cost of parking spaces on the property beside the rink to service overflow parking from the McKellar Market or any other municipal functions, and further create a report on viability of using the ball field as a temporary parking area, including costs for the 2022 market season using the lower entrance.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so you can call the vote. Deputy Mayor Haskell.
Yes.
Councillor Mike Kekkonen.
Yes.
Councillor Regmore?
Yes.
Councillor Nick Ryland?
Yes.
Thank you. Carrie?
Yep. You signed it.
Okay, very good. Okay. Sorry. Next motion. Be it resolved that the Council of Township McKellar does hereby give bylaw 2022-22 being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of council at first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed on open council as 8th day of April 2022. Can I have a mover for that? Councillor Kekkonen, seconder?
Yes, I'll do that.
Okay. Councillor Ryland? Okay. Call for the vote. This has to be recorded vote.
Yep.
Also.
Yep. Deputy Mayor Haskam?
Yes.
Councillor Kekkonen?
Yes.
Councillor Moore?
Yes.
Councillor Ryland?
Yes.
I've got another motion.
131.
Be it resolved that the Council of Township McKellar does hereby adjourn this meeting at
12:31?
11:49. Oh, well, thank God. It's only feeling like
12:49.
Stomach's growling. we have a mover and a seconder for that? Or do you want to stay here all day? Councillor Moore? Councillor Kekkonen the second? Recorded vote again.
Deputy Mayor Haskin?
Yes.
Councillor Kekkonen?
Yes.
Councillor Moore?
Yes.
Councillor Ryland?
Yes.
Before I call adjournment, I'd like to thank Rob and Jan for showing up and bringing us all the light, and we will go forward in a positive way.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Meeting adjourned.
It's comprehensive. It identifies all of the requirements.
I'm not sure if I'm going to do it.